eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
Welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, again, I don't know how to answer that, but I'm doing great, man. Doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Alistair Weaver, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
We're doing good. Getting ready for auction week, Arizona auction week, which is next week. And then there's a SEMA conference and there's all kinds of things going on. But I know you've got some things to get into. The garage is just about done. I know you guys are jamming to get some final things done. We've been talking about it for a couple of years. Everyone wants to know when the podcast studio is going to be done so we can get that worked out. But the big thing was like the HVAC. Did you get the HVAC done?
No, but we did get it started up. I moved all the cars out, got it started up, but we're short 22 grates. So, you know, the metal cup. So I have 22 holes. And again, I've been bitching and moaning about it for a long time. It's right at the point right now where I can turn one direction and really enjoy myself if I, you know, narrow my field of view. But then there's the HVAC with holes in it. You know, there's two lifts still in it. So I can't do any of the audio. I can't do any of the video stuff and present anything without crap in the background or in the way. So it's at arm's length. I'm right there, right there. I have to do a test burnout inside of the garage today for the flooring company. So that should be fun. But you know, there's lifts in the way and this, it just looks like crap, but I'm close, very close.
I saw Hubinette commenting on a few of the photos. He just sees a drift track and he doesn't see the garage in the middle. And I don't know if he's going to come out and help you out, help Chris.
Well, he knows my plan. And yes, just barring his schedule or schedule pending, I got to have him out here to do that as soon as possible because we're there. Literally, the floor covering is the final step. So. Even though it's never done, it's 99.9% there, and I'm excited. It's just we got to cross that finish line.
Alistair, you did stuff with Sam Houbinet in the past, right?
Not me, unfortunately.
No, I thought you did. I don't know where that came up, but I thought you had done that before. But yeah, I'm sure he's excited.
I did a world record for the number of donuts.
That's right.
In a minute. So maybe that could be one for Bill's garage.
Well, Bill's got to do it in the garage. So
I got to do it in the garage. But the problem is, right, you don't want to start shredding tires and you don't want to start throwing rubber everywhere. So I've got, fortunately, like a green screen that's probably 12 feet high. And so it's, I would imagine it's 75 feet long. So I can drape the right behind where I'm going to be doing the burnout so that it doesn't throw crap all over the rest of the garage.
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern, to be honest with you. Not right. Hitting a post. It's throwing the stuff, you know, on cars and having it melt the paint, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
Okay. And then before we get into the Edmunds awards, Barrett Jackson's coming up. Is there anything you want to plug for that? I know you're going to be meeting with the guys at Badass Workbenches.
Thursday evening, I think it's 4 to 6. I don't know exactly where their booth is, but I'm sure it will be prominently displayed. I will be out there doing a meet and greet. And yeah, man, Barrett, I haven't been for years. I have to wear a lock on my wallet. There's no question about that. But, you know, I'm very much looking forward to going.
Yeah, so their booth typically is where the Salon Collection is under the big tent. You get into that big vendor area. I think the past year or two, they were kind of like halfway down on the left side as you're
they
walking
got a great
through.
Spot. But, yeah, they've always had a great spot. The first time I literally stumbled right into their booth because it was in between the front entrance and the stage. So, I mean, it's a prime spot, or it was a prime spot. If they have that, then that's where I'll be.
And
I'm sure it won't be too hard to find.
The Leverack guys were usually over there in that area as well.
Yeah. And I have to pay a visit to them also.
They're all friends, right? They all work together. Those guys,
yeah,
by the way.
In the beginning, I didn't want to cross reference and piss anybody off. But the fact is that there's so many of us enthusiasts out there that there's room for everybody, but they really don't, they have no animosity. It's a comfortable, competitive workplace.
Okay. So Thursday at Barrett Jackson, next week, Thursday at 4 o'clock, you'll be there. Anybody that's swinging by Barrett Jackson on a Thursday, go by and say hi to Bill. Otherwise we'll be around, Friday and Saturday as well, kind of, roaming around, trying not to spend money.
Yeah, and if you have some badass cars, do not come up to me and tell me what lot number they are, please.
Right. After they sold, then come over and go, hey, I sold my car. It was really fantastic.
Oh,
that way, yeah, you can brag about it after it's sold. Alistair, have you been out to a Barrett Jackson event?
I haven't. I should go one, yeah, for sure.
You should definitely go. It is a spectacle for sure. The other auctions there are fantastic as well. I love swinging by RM. Gooding stopped doing their live auction Scottsdale a couple years ago. They do the online version. I think their next live auction is Amelia Island. But those are fascinating to see because they do bring out – like RM brings out all of the cars at the hotel. They're at the Biltmore, I believe. So you can go there and kind of just walk around for free to see the cars. They kind of all got them out in front of on the lawn in front of the hotel. So that's cool to see, and then swing over to Barrett because it is an event for sure.
Alistair, you've never been there during the Scottsdale festivities during the end of January?
No, I mean, I've only been out here for 5 years, and like two of those were lost to the pandemic. So I need to get my mission for this year is to get myself out a bit more. I'm actually going down to the NADA, which is the Dealer Association in Dallas, yeah, at the end of the month, just to I've never been to one of those, and that's it's a B2B, it's an industry event, but it's a huge thing, so I'm looking forward to going down there. And yeah, I need to get out more. I want to experience more of this, and I spend so much time on Bring a Trailer, but there's no there's no replacement for actually going out there, you know, meeting people, walking the lawn, seeing the cars up close. It's still a special thing.
Here's deal. When I got the invite to Goodwood and I had heard about it for years, the level of excitement I had as a car enthusiast, not going to have to work, but just going and being a fly on the wall and seeing and experiencing everything. I look at Barrett as by no means in the same category as far as what it represents, but as far as excitement level and enthusiast, just it is for the enthusiast, man. That weekend or that week, not just Barrett Jackson, like Matt was saying, but it is a sight to behold, and it's an experience. I mean, look at what the auctions have been doing. Look at what Meekum's been doing. Now you can only imagine where the bar is set for Barrett Jackson in January. It's going to be unbelievable.
So how different is the crowd there to what you would find at Pebble Beach Car Week? Is it the same people or different vibe?
It's a mix between F1 and NASCAR fans. If you get a little bit of everything, because
that sounds explosive.
It is that, because anyone and everyone who loves the automobile and can appreciate a restoration or a $5 million, you know, Carroll Shelby Cobra is there. And, you know, it brings all walks of life together. And when you are there, no matter what your socioeconomic background or status or demographic, it makes no difference. We're all car guys and girls. So that's why it's so cool. I'm not saying it levels the playing field, but you have the ability to go and see anything and everything you'd ever want to see at Barrett Jackson.
But there's vendors as well. So it's got a little bit of it's some of the manufacturers, the car manufacturers are there with vendor booths, Chevy, BMW, you'll see some things like that. Usually like Hennessy and Roush and you know, like that. So it's got a little bit of that Goodwood Festival of Speed, like, but then there's just tons of vendors. And when you go outside and you walk through the tents and you can get like the giant turkey leg and
the hot dog, 4 feet long.
Yeah. Like
AIDS walking around.
So it's kind of like a fair meets a car auction.
But yeah, but also, you know, the charity aspect of it, right? And the fanfare and the excitement that's produced when one of those vehicles goes up, and you know, like the Superbird that we sold.
Yeah,
I think it was Poteet or somebody bought it for $600,000 and then donates it back, and then you know people go nuts, and then you raise as much more money for charity as possible. So it's the entire experience, not only. Do you see the cool, you know, the $20,000 cars that go out on Wednesday, but you have the ability to see the things that are going Saturday night that just break the record books. And you've got from the bottom end of the spectrum in the business, the enthusiast, you know, aspect to the absolute top. And so it's so cool. Just as a car person, the experience, whether it's the ride outside that Dodge does, you know, or it's the 15-foot long hot dogs, or it's the $10 million cars. It's just the experience is unparalleled. It's just you have to go.
Done.
Done. All right. All right. So we've been kind of waiting a little bit to see what's going on with Edmunds' best of awards. I guess the top of each category. I'm excited to see what you guys came up with. I know you guys put a lot of time and effort into the testing and your reviews and buying cars. If you tell me everything is electric, then I'm going to be pissed.
I'm leaving early.
but I expect something electric, just not everything electric, because I don't think they're there quite yet.
It's great to be working with such new age men.
I'm just saying we'll lose 3/4 of our audience if everything's electric.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's all good. No, we do basically every – for those who don't know, every year we do something called the Edmunds Top Rated Award. We launched it about 4 years ago, and it's grown since then. These things are always like – you know what award shows are like? They're always a ton of work. I mean, there's basically like 6 months' work behind this in terms of getting the cars together, finalizing all the testing, doing all the shoots, putting the website together, et cetera. This morning we launched it. So edmunds.com/top rated. So just TOPRATED. So this year we have rehashed it a little bit, bringing in a few more EVs, but it's still a mix. So we have We have three awards for internal combustion and three awards for EVs. So basically, we've named the best car, truck, and SUV, ICE, and EV. And then in a week's time, we're going to launch the best of the best, which is a new award which recognizes like the what we think is a standout amongst our winners, but also something that kind of moves the game on and has a bigger impact than the rest. So that's coming in a week's time. Maybe we can talk about that next week. But yeah, we have six category winners today.
Okay. Which categories are you going to do today?
So all six go live today. Then the best of the best goes live next week.
Oh, so, I got you. Okay.
So I can go through them quickly. In the internal combustion world, car is Honda Civic. SUV is Kia Sportage Hybrid. And then truck is F-150. And I should say that these awards, unlike some kind of car of the year stuff, these aren't recognizing the best car that came out this year. These are basically trying to recognize the best vehicles on sale right now. So like the F-150 is now run for 3 years in a row as our favorite truck. Then in the electric world, Chevy Bolt EV, which for electric car, which might surprise people, but it's like 27th grand. It's such a hell of a lot of car for your money. It's like a proper family EV for under $30,000, and nobody comes close to that. Electric SUV, Hyundai Ioniq 5, which you recognize won a ton of awards. That's a great vehicle. And then electric truck, good news for your residuals, Matt, F-150 Lightning.
Okay. Let's get into a few of these real quick, starting with the gas engine stuff while we got Bill's attention. Honda Civic. I don't disagree with that. I think Honda Civic is a good, well-rounded car. They put a lot of time into it. You know, the hot versions of it, I think, is a little less boy racer-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. had quite a bit of competition with the Toyota Corolla GR, right?
Yeah, we've actually got a video we just launched comparing. We did like a little autocross, the Civic Type R and the Corolla GR. I mean, this award is more for the everyday version rather than the Type R. But it's just a, you know, at a very reasonable price point, it's just a really nicely executed little thing. It's good to drive. It's pretty, it's small, but it's pretty practical. It starts at under 25 grand. It's economical. The quality's good. You know, it's like that everybody talks about SUVs these days or EVs, but actually there's some really nice little cars out there and will continue to be so. And, you know, if you're looking for just a great, reliable, well-built, appealing little thing, it's just a really nicely executed top product, really.
Is the Honda Civic the best-selling car for them right now? I mean, maybe not best-selling SUV, but I guess what I'm saying is that like sub $30,000 market the best-selling market, or are most people really into that, I don't know, 30 to 40 range? Only because cars are more expensive these days. So it's already surprising to get a $25,000, $28,000 car.
Yeah, I mean, most of their market is still SUV. So if you look at where the big sales are, it's CR-V. And obviously, there's a new CR-V. There's also a new Accord on the way. So Accord sales are probably a little bit up and down at the moment because they're in run out for their 2022. And then there's the new generation car coming. So Honda's continuing to build cars. I mean, they sell more CRVs, HRVs, but you know they're continuing to persist with cars in a way that, say, Ford aren't. So I haven't got the figures in front of me, Matt, but you know they obviously sell enough to make it viable.
Yeah, I mean you're right. And then as far as small SUVs, between RAV4 and CRV, that's got to be 1.5 million cars a year. They probably got to do about 600,000 or 700,000 of those things a year each.
Yeah, I mean, the markets, obviously, it's been a tough market with supply and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I'd say 1 million between them at least. Yeah, I think it's about 1 million between them.
Yeah, okay.
I think CR-V, yeah, both of those have been, you know, the top, alongside something like F-150, they are the biggest selling vehicles in America.
And everything is pretty much front-wheel drive. If there's not an all-wheel drive variant, it's all front-wheel drive. I mean, as far as like coming out of Honda these days, is right? Because Accord and it's all front wheel drive, right?
Yes, from Honda. I mean, amongst our finalists, not one of the winners, but amongst the finalists, we had something like the Subaru BRZ, which again is just a great value little sports car. Won our award in the past. All the Honda stuff is front wheel drive.
BRZ, since you mentioned it, do you fit in a BRZ?
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised. I mean, you probably don't get anybody in the seats behind me, but we have one in part of our long term test fleet, and it's great. You know, if you just want something fun for you know, running around the city, or you don't have to take it to the track to be fun. It's limits of search. It's manual gearbox. It sounds good. You know, and with the new model, it goes a little bit faster than the old one did. So it's not fast, but it's fast enough to be fun.
And what that car is also about 28 grand, right?
Yeah, I forget exactly what the price is today, but yeah, I think they're tipping under 30. I probably got it here because it's listed as one of our finalists. Yeah, they start at just under 30. Probably if you add destination, it might tip over 30, but it's still fantastic value for what it is.
I mean, it's a little weird to say, you know, some of the most affordable cars out there are, you know, knocking on the door of 30 grand, but it's also kind of like hard to believe that we could still offer a car that's under 30 grand. Like one hand, like cars are all expensive now, but on the other hand, it's like, I'm surprised we can do it, but
I went home last night in a Ford Maverick, which isn't one of our winners, but it was again came pretty close. And again, just like a truck at a really cost effective price. That's just a really nice, honest vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. And you're right. I think the price point helps for that more than anything. I think it's a good economic vehicle, but also I think the price point is what makes the Maverick super attractive. That and not a lot of competition out there. All right, what was next on your gas engine list?
So Kia Sportage Hybrid. So we've included like hybrids in the gas section. Again, it's like it's remarkable value. This thing starts at under 30 grand as well. Super fuel efficient, great interior, kind of a nice size. It's a good size for families. It's not too big that it becomes cumbersome, but it's not too small that you can't fit people in the back. And, you know, Kia's on a roll at the moment. We love the Telluride, which was one of the beaten finalists as one in the past. It's hard to fault, really. It's just a great all-round package. And we had it up against the brand-new Honda CR-V, and honestly, the CR-V just feels a little bit conservative, a little bit old-school by comparison.
So the Sportage and the CR-V, they seem a little on the small side. Is the Sportage the CR-V size?
Yeah, Sportage is CR-V sized. So, you know, it's a strict two-row. But if you've got like a Goldberg size family, normal size family, then it's perfectly nice as it's a great all-round family car. And again, it's small enough to be maneuverable, it's easier to park, it's pretty fuel efficient. So, you know, there's no surprise why they sell so many of them.
Kia Genesis, they've been super impressive. Two brands that have just really been, I would say Hyundai as well, but it seems a little bit more Kia and Genesis has just been wildly impressive. The redesigned logo for Kia, which is confusing everybody, and I think there's more there's more Google searches for what car is KN because the Kia logo looks like a K and an N, and the I seems to be missing. I don't know if that's just helping people and helping people to Google what the car is. They're seeing it. They don't know what it is. They're Googling it.
And it works. Whatever it is, whatever their intent was, it works.
You're right. It worked, and it's allowing people to search for the vehicle for the brand online, and I'm sure they end up clicking on, you know, whatever reviews or the manufacturer's website to see the like, yeah, this is what it is. So I don't think it was intentional altering the logo like that would have it to be search result related, but it seems to be working.
Well, in all seriousness, we looked at the traffic for KN. Because ultimately, if you rank, you know, like as a business, you want to rank at the top of Google. And we looked at how much traffic there was for that, and could we rank for KN as well as for Kia?
Yeah.
And what would that do for the business? That's a serious conversation we had. Anyway, Kia, I mean, you're right. Basically, Kia, Genesis, I'd include Hyundai in there because, you know, the IONIQ 5 won our electric SUV and has won like a whole ton of awards this year. Also love the little truck that they have. So, they're all, I mean, these awards kind of reflect, you know, who's up and who's down in the market, or predominantly who's up. And you can see a transition as the years go by. You know, at one point, like, Honda was winning all the awards, and right now it's Kia and Hyundai, which of course is fundamentally one company. And we love some of what Genesis is doing too. And, you know, it's not rocket science. They're just creating great products that are great to look at, good value, good to drive, technologically advanced. And, you know, it's kind of reassuring that if people build good products, people buy them. And so they're having critical success, they're having sales success, and they're just on a roll, and, you know, can't fault it. And they back it all up with these big warranties and everything else, so they just make a lot of sense to buy. And I think people have got past any sort of negative image that might have existed in the past. You know, it's now a great thing to own a Kia.
And because you mentioned the warranty, I was going to ask, what are you seeing now with the long-term quality of the cars? Do you have any long-term tests on Kia, Genesis, Hyundai, any of the shared brands, I guess?
Yeah, we've had a Telluride, we've had a Sorento, all of which have been good. I mean, the quality, both the perceived quality and the build quality, stands comparison with anything from you know, in the mainstream market, from Japan or the US or Europe, you know, and they're not tending to go wrong. And we're really big fans of the hybrid. We've been specific in this award that it's for the hybrid. And that hybrid system, you're not sort of consciously buying a hybrid. You almost need to get past that mentally. Actually, it's just a better version of a gas car, where the hybrid just helps the car along, gives you more performance, gives you more economy, but you don't feel like you're driving something different. It's just great. I mean, sometimes they just hit the sweet spot with a vehicle, and that's what they've done in this case.
Yeah, interesting. Bill, you should drive a Telluride. I kind of want to get your opinion on it. All right, I know you got to run.
I'd love to, but hold on to that talk.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, we'll see you later. I agree on the hybrid portion of it. So my mom's got like a RAV4 hybrid, and she didn't really know the difference, but it came down to, I was just like, you know what? It's better gas mileage overall, and the warranty was a little bit better. The drivetrain and the battery warranty was just better. So, and it ended up being a little bit quicker. You know, so in that instance, it was seamless to her. She didn't have to plug it in or anything like that. She didn't really understand exactly what it meant. And I was like, nothing, just drive it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the beauty of them. You know, we're still struggling a lot with infrastructure issues, as you know, on the EV world. And, you know, especially if you're doing bigger distances or you live in an, or you can't charge at home, then actually a hybrid just makes a load of sense. And it's not, you know, I think in the early days it was seen as, you know, some of the early Priuses and stuff almost kind of had a negative impact on the image of these things. But now they're just a better, it's just a better engine, if you like, with the hybrid. Yeah.
Let's talk about, you said IONIQ 5. I mean, on the electric car, right? That one's,
So we have two electric cars. One is, I mean, what's a car? What's an SUV? And honestly, it's like the line between the two is so blurred. But our best electric car was the Chevy Bolt EV, which is just amazing value for what it is. And then the best SUV was the IONIQ 5, which
can Chevrolet make money off of the Bolt? Is it still like a loss leader, or what's your thoughts on that? I mean.
It depends how you dress these things up, doesn't it? Because, you know, you can amortize the R&D across a whole bunch of models. It's older. In some ways, it's older technology, but it's older technology that still works. You've got a range of well over 200 miles. You've got pretty compact dimensions, but decent space inside. You've got technology like Apple CarPlay. And yeah, some of the touchy-feely stuff isn't the highest quality, but, you know, it's under 30 grand. So are they making a ton of money from it? No. Are they building for the future and really helping to establish themselves in the market? Absolutely. And this year, they've not only got the Blazer EV coming, the Silverado EV, and then the Equinox, which is also going to be really cost-effective. That's hitting the market too. And the average transaction price for an EV at the moment is in the $60,000+.
Yeah.
So to have an effective EV at under 30 is tremendous. And yeah, it's not super fashionable. It's not a Tesla. It's not a Ioniq 5 or something, but just as a practical, useful family car, it's great.
Where does the Ioniq 5 come in as far as price?
So I think that starts in the late 40s. 41, actually. Sorry, I'm thinking of with all the destination and everything else. So it starts at just over 40 and runs to 56,500. Call it 45 to 58, roughly, by the time you got it delivered on your driveway.
And then for this particular category, what did you compare it to and why did this one stand out?
So again, I think it's just a combination of virtue. I mean, our finalists for the SUV were the Kia Niro, which is brand new, and then the BMW iX, which is obviously more of a luxury vehicle. You can debate the looks all day, but if you get past the kind of controversial looks, it's a really great luxury EV, but at a price. And the Ioniq 5 just again hits that sweet spot of being a good size. It's bigger than it looks. In some ways, it's actually quite a sizable family car. It's got great technology, 800-volt architecture, which, to get past the geek speak, basically means that you can charge quicker if you get a 350-kilowatt charger. It's got a, you know, it looks cool, that kind of retro vibe about it, but it's got a, you know, it stands out, it's appealing. The interior's got plenty of space, good quality, plenty of tech. It's just a great all-round package, and you can have it either with one motor or if you want all-wheel drive and more performance, you can have that as well, so there's plenty of choice. So it's good range, good performance, good practicality, versatility. It's just a great all-round package. And, you know, there's other vehicles that we like in that category. You know, Mustang Mach-E has won before. You know, Model Y is obviously hugely popular, and they've just cut a load of money off the price. But that Ioniq 5 is tough to beat at the moment.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. Also, not a lot of competition. Like, next year we have this conversation, or the year after, I think the field is going to be much bigger when we start to look at, you know, sort of the pure play EVs that are out there. Probably a little more discussion on when does range start to jump, you know, from, you know, high 200s to maybe high 300s or low fours, and then which companies, which brands are going to be the ones to be the first out the gate? I'm not talking Lucid for $180,000. I'm talking about when does Ford or Hyundai or GM or somebody start getting into that 380 mile range, and what does that mean? You know,
and who cares? There's also that, Matt. Yeah. It's like, because to get there with the current, unless the battery technology and we get to solid state, something that takes a massive leap, with the technology we have today, you just add weight and cost. So realistically, you know, 250 miles, if you get the infrastructure right, and, you know, everybody charges at home, that's probably enough, right? 300 miles, as long as you can, you just need to have better access to fast chargers that actually work. And if you can solve that problem, then you don't need cars with 500 miles, 600 miles.
Yeah, right. I guess 280 is a pretty good spot if it's accurate.
Yeah, and if you know that after a couple of hundred miles, you can pull over in 20 minutes, half an hour, you're going to get another 250 miles. You know, you have a quick latte and a muffin, and you're back in the car and on your way again. And I think if you know the technology is going to work, the chargers are going to work, you're not going to have to queue for an hour to get there, then I think that's okay.
Yeah.
It's got to meet in the middle. Range, and I don't think you can just keep adding range to these vehicles, because all you're doing is adding cost, materials, weight, all the stuff that you don't really want and don't necessarily need. So,
which you can't do in a lot of the vehicles of the size that you're talking about, things like Chevy Bolt and stuff. When you start getting into Silverado and you know, some of the bigger SUVs that are all going to become electric, there's weight and size are two things that you kind of get a pass on. You know, how do you put all of that power and that battery into something small?
Yeah, and when you say the other problem with it is you end up with a very inefficient vehicle. So the, you know, if you take the Rivian, it's what, 7,400 pounds, but that's a lot of mass to sort of push through the air. So you end up with something that actually uses a lot of juice.
Yeah.
So the efficiency goes down, and then of course you've got a bigger battery to accommodate the lower efficiency, but that means you've got to charge it as well. And I think people are struggling to get their heads around this sometimes, that you think, oh, I'll get an extra 100 miles, but actually that's going to take twice as long in a Rivian than it is in something like a Tesla Model 3, because to get 100 miles, because it's less efficient, means you've got to have more energy. So it's the same as like putting more gas in the tank. But, you know, that gas in the tank is an extra couple of minutes. Nobody thinks about it. So, you know, I went into the Peterson Museum to use the EVgo charger on Saturday. And, you know, I got 18 kilowatts and it only let me charge for an hour. So I managed to get like 80 miles or something into my Tesla, which got me home. But, you know, it's hopeless. So, you know, if that had been the Lightning or something like that, that would have got me 40 miles.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the problem. You know, the first one didn't work. Then the second one did work, but it was working at a reduced capacity. And after an hour, it said, you can't charge anymore, get lost. So it's like, okay, now I've got to go and charge the car again.
Yeah, right.
It's hopeless.
All right, before we get into Lightning, let's just talk F-150. There's new F-150 on the way. This is a very competitive segment between Ram, Chevy, Toyota, I guess, as well. Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very competitive segment. All of those trucks sell well, and the companies behind them have big budgets on them because they continue to sell well. So, you know, you can spend $1 billion of R&D and development on an F-150, but, you know, you can't on a Ford Escape unless it's shared across, you know, nine other platforms. Why does F-150 continue? Because you guys were really raving about Ram a while back.
Yeah, I think we were. And, you know, the Ram's still a great vehicle, but the latest generation F-150 came along and toppled it. Silverado had a big uptick this year with a much better interior, the interior that perhaps always should have had. Toyota came along with a great full-size truck, but it's, you know, there's some great tech there, but it doesn't necessarily have the range, the range of options and some of the technology that the Ford has. So, yeah, there's just a fantastic choice out there for truck buyers. And, of course, you know, all the attention is switching towards the electric truck. So we've seen, you know, Lightning, Silverado EV is this year. Ram, just at the CES show in Vegas, showed a concept which is really interesting. The Ram's going to have an electric truck. So you're at this kind of point where they're continuing to invest in the gas trucks because, frankly, they just sell so many. But most of the attention and most of the R&D is now going into the electric trucks because that's where the cash cow of the future is. So it's a fascinating time in the market. And of course, like the F-150 that we love most is the hybrid, which gives you a really great combination of some of the extra versatility of things like, you know, onboard power, better fuel economy, that low down torque that you get from the hybrid, but you still have, you know, the range of a gas truck and the ease of use of a gas truck.
Yeah, okay. And then F-150 Lightning. So we've got a Lightning that's, you know, we got an electric truck. It's kind of based off of the existing F-150 platform, so it's more of a conversion, if you will, than a clean sheet of paper. Ford's talking about the next version of the Lightning is sort of a ground up, design, something that they can share under other vehicles, maybe Lincoln Navigator or Expedition or something like that. But now that it's been out for a little while, people got to spend a little more time with it. What are your thoughts on Lightning? I mean, obviously it topped your category, but maybe there's nothing else to compare it against.
Well, I mean, obviously there's the Rivian and there's the Hummer. They're the three EV trucks available. So you're right. It didn't quite win by default, but there's not a huge amount in the market. Next year is going to be a very different conversation. It's just, I mean, you know, Matt, you own one, don't you? So it's, yeah. I mean, what it is, what we've said is, like, for most truck buyers, it's a better kind of truck. If you tow all the time and if you go really big distances, then I'd say buy the F-150 hybrid. But if you can charge it at home and you're maybe going, like, you know, 150 miles a day, 200 miles a day and not, like, towing loads of stuff or hauling too much, then it's just a better kind of truck. The benefits of that frunk, where you can get a load of lockable, secure space in the nose, it's super fast. I mean, it's got more torque than the Raptor. It's super quiet. It's super comfortable. Yeah, the price has gone up, which is a mark against it. That's just because the raw material costs have gone up for Ford and for everybody else. But it's just a great truck. Forget the EV bit. It's just a great truck.
Do you think things like over-the-air updates has made a significant enough difference for car owners and the brands? Because I've got a couple updates.
I think so, and I think there's more to come. I think this is where the sort of older world manufacturers think, by their own admission, acknowledge that the software is sometimes where they're not as good as some of the Silicon Valley types, or even some of the, you know, Tesla. You know, Tesla was very good at some of the early software and getting the updates going and everything else. And I think you'll see more from Ford in that area. They've hired a lot of people. All these major car manufacturers have basically been out and hired a load of tech geeks, if you like, from Silicon Valley to help them with the software, because it's just an area that they never had to develop in this way before. So I think, you know, Ford's interface on the Lightning is okay, but it's not amazing. I think you'll see more developments from that on that score. Obviously, you've got things like Apple CarPlay on board. And, you know, and we're also in the broader market seeing, you know, Sony and Honda pairing up. We're seeing Apple with CarPlay get more into the whole architecture and infrastructure of the cockpit. So it's no longer just like an app. It's actually going to be taking over the whole in-car system. So, you know, you're seeing this fusion of consumer tech and, you know, an automotive understanding. And yeah, I think the nice thing about having something like a Lightning is, you know, it just keeps updating. Your iPhone updates and so does your car. It's the same principle.
So I've got, you know, I drive a handful of different cars and different press cars and this and that, especially over the holidays, you leave town. So I've still only got about 2,200 miles on my Lightning. I don't normally get close to 300 miles range, probably around the 250 range. But also, it's all based off of estimates. As I'm charging it, it gives you an estimate of what it thinks it's going to be at 100%. And I don't necessarily always charge it to 100%. And as it's charging and it gets closer to that 80, 90% range, I did notice it. The total range creeps up a little bit from the estimate. Like, you know, if I'm charging it for an hour, it says the estimate's 240 range. On hour number 7 of my charging, it's like, oh, we're going to be like 264 range or 275 range. It might be a little closer. So I haven't really – I don't know that I've even charged it to a full 100% yet, and only just because I don't charge it at home. I charge it at my warehouse where I go to work every day. I'm not there for 10 hours, and maybe I'm there for 8 hours, or I run out to do an errand or something and I got to unplug it and plug it back in. So some of it is time and some of it is – I don't know how accurate this is, but there's, you know, advice saying, you know, don't charge to 100% if you don't really need the 100%. Try to keep it to that, you know, 85, 90% range. And you can preset your vehicle to stop at 90% or whatever percentage you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally regarded as common sense advice for most people, to protect the batteries, and also because the charging ramps down, so that last 10% takes forever. So generally, I mean, typical advice is charge to 80%, you know, for everyday use, and then charge to 100% for those, you know, big trips, the time when you drive to wherever, Palm Springs, whatever for you. So, yeah, that's kind of standard advice. And this is part of the game, right? You've got to have this this level of education and understanding that comes with owning an EV. But as more and more people do it, this will become more commonplace for sure.
So I don't do a big long commute either. I charge my truck once a week, right? And that's coming here to the studio and running some errands and going around town and doing stuff. Like, I just charge it about once a week, and it's enough for what I do. However, there are a few things that I've been avoiding doing. There's some work down in San Diego, like Oceanside. And when I said earlier, like, hey, we need to make that jump, it'd be interesting to make that jump to get to that 350, 380, 400-mile range. And it's – yes, because we can get to 100%, but if my F-150 was 350-mile range and – I know that I'm not really going to get 350 miles and I'm not going to charge it to 100%. I'd like the real range to be, you know, 300, you know. So when you buy the truck and everyone's like, it's 300-mile range, that's kind of the 300-mile range that I'd like to have had. But the reality is I would need a 350, you know, 360 range from Ford for me to get 300, because it's just not panning out exactly the way it was sold to me.
Yeah, but then I guess if you go on a trip to Oceanside rather than sort of knocking around Venice Beach, you'd probably get more range. So it's all these kind of variables, because it's now used to how you drive and the sort of errands that you do, and you're in knocking around LA. So I've not been an apologist here, but I guess the thinking is, if you were charging it at home, you know, you charge it like you, I mean, said this before, you charge it like your iPhone. So you get home at night, you plug it in, you're ready to go again next morning with a full charge. And then you can go down to Oceanside and not worry about it. You come home, you plug it in overnight. So it almost becomes something that you don't think about, in the same way that you plug your phone in next to your bed, and in the morning you wake up and you've got a full charge. And depending how old your phone is, it probably lasts all day.
Yeah. I agree. And then that being said, having spent time with the truck and driving it quite a bit, you're right. It's quiet. It's fast. It's comfortable. I've got the F-150 Lightning Platinum, and the Platinum is just a really nice truck. Like, it's just – honestly, it doesn't really matter if it's gas engine or hybrid or electric. Like, if you get an F-150 Platinum, that's a pretty nice truck. Mine just happens to be electric, so it's quiet and it's fast. That's kind of how I explain it to most people. Like, how do you like your Lightning? I go, it's like a really nice F-150, but it's quiet and it's fast.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much it. There's a few things that I would like to see to make the – just make it a little more convenient that I think can be addressed with software updates. I don't know if enough people have spoken out about it. But there's nothing really major. Just little things like with your air conditioning system, the recirc button is a couple steps into the menu, and it doesn't need to be. There's literally just space there on the screen where you're like, you could just create two buttons instead of one and just have the recirculation button. Like, it should just be there, especially in LA, because we were sitting in traffic and everyone's just smoking weed in their cars. You just smell the weed all the time, so you kind of want to hit that button. I agree on the frunk. The frunk is super useful. It is basically my storage. That's what I use all the time when I'm just throwing stuff in there. I got the cargo net in there as well, so I can throw some things in there and not have it all flop around. The little tub that's in there, I'm always throwing things in there, and it's cool because the lid that's on it, if you put something in the little tub so it doesn't move around as much, the lid stands up straight. It's got slots and you can just stand it up straight and you can drive around. And I actually drove around like pretty aggressively to see if the lid would flop around while it's in there, and it seems to work fine. So
there's just a lot of clever thought. I mean, it's the same with the F-150, standard F-150, but there's just a lot of really clever thinking. And also that with the over-the-air update stuff, they can keep iterating it. So it kind of makes the whole use thing kind of interesting, because now anything with Apple CarPlay, you don't feel – you know, like when you used to get in a used car that was 3 or 4 years old and you think, oh, God, this is old and it hasn't got – you know, my phone doesn't work, or you can't listen to Spotify. Now anything that's got Apple CarPlay, as long as it basically started keeping to update, then a car doesn't feel so old anymore. And maybe with the Lightning, it's going to be the same thing. You keep doing the over-the-air updates. In 3 years' time, it's going to feel like a slightly different truck to what you bought.
I agree with that. I think because there's more things coming out for your phone, for your smartphone, than there are for the vehicles, that having that sort of be your infotainment hub through CarPlay or Android Auto or something, I think is the smart move. And for some of the companies that I don't know why they're sort of grasping onto their own programming tech. I'm looking at Jaguar Land Rover. I know they got CarPlay, but I don't know why they keep investing in the software developers when they probably should be a little bit more outsourcing to the Googles and Apples of the world. I think it is kind of interesting. So. What else was on the list? What else? Are we missing anything?
Let me just go back to my list because I can't remember what I said. We talked about the Ioniq 5, Bolt EV, Lightning. No, that's it, Matt. We got the 6, and then next week we'll have the best of the best. So that's coming a week later.
Okay, so we're going to have to wrap it, but there's one thing that Bill and I touched on last week. You weren't here, but we talked about you. We talked about Alistair Weaver's big I told you so moment. And that's when Tesla said, we're going to offer our cars with a regular steering wheel instead of just the yoke. And if you want the yoke, you can get it optionally, but now the default is a regular steering wheel. So there's that.
I like to think that I am like the consumer champion, Matt. And now and again, I have positive benefit. We had a bit of a lapback. So the aftermarket was already doing them for like vast expense. You could buy them in the aftermarket. But we were actually talking in the office about, you know, like times when manufacturers have, you know, done a mea culpa. Like I remember like Porsche when they brought out the Tiptronic and it had really stupid like little gear stick. So like you had a plus and you had to kind of use your palm on – doesn't work well on a podcast, does it? Yeah. I'm kind of gesticulating here. But yeah, you had to use your palm to change up. You had these really terrible buttons where everybody else just wanted paddles like a Formula One car. And eventually they brought out paddles as an option. Then eventually everything had paddles. So we're trying to think of other times where people have kind of had such a kind of, you know.
I mean, Aston Martin Vantage had the big grouper mouth on the front. And now optionally you can get a more conventional front end it'll probably cost you $6,000 as an option. But if you don't want the big mouth on the Aston Martin, you can get a more conventional look going back to the old design.
But going back to the Tesla thing, if anybody had driven, it's a 1,000 horsepower car with a steering wheel that, you know, just basically doesn't work in everyday life. And if anybody watches the video that we did of it on our test track, you know, we want to go back and repeat it with a proper steering wheel. It was just, I think it was like a PR idea. And probably a bunch of people in the company said, this is a really terrible idea. And somebody said, we need something. We need to like create some noise. We need, give us a yoke. And anyway, terrible idea. Thankfully, hopefully that's the end of that.
Look, my point about the whole thing, it doesn't really matter to me why they did it or why they stopped doing it, is the point was, you said this is not necessarily a smart move from a driving perspective. And Twitter fucking blew up. You know, YouTube comments, everyone lost their shit, right? And now Tesla's like, well, we're not going to concede completely, but we're pretty much agree with you. So I'm just saying, a little credit where credit's due.
it was all me. I did it.
It was all. I'm not saying you made Tesla change their mind. I'm just saying
you spoke
up and probably sent them an email and made them change their mind. All right. So let's have you back on again soon. Maybe we can figure out a way to do it next week. I know we're traveling for Bear Jackson, and so we can get the final results of the rest of your stuff, and we could probably get into Corvette E-Ray.
Yes, because we had a look at that in Detroit. So yeah, we could absolutely do that. Happy to, as always.
Alistair, thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's edmunds.com is the website. Go check them out now. As you guys go and listen to this, you'll see the top rated stuff. And then next week, there's some more information rolling out as well. And I'm sure there's a whole suite of videos and stuff to go along with all the award winners.
Absolutely. Video, social, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang. And you can follow Alistair. Feel free to say hi to Alistair on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you're a Tesla owner, be sure to follow Alistair.
At Weaver on Cars.
Follow him on Twitter and say hello to him. And you can't see him. Maybe put up the screenshot, but I like the retro shirt. It's very sort of Toyota-ish. You got going on there, by the way.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows, available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.